Continue the shiur in Sichos Haran. Today's shiur is on Seif Kuf Mem Zayin, paragraph 147. Now, with this Seif, we begin a short series of Sichos about the Sipurim Maaseiyos. Sipurim Maaseiyos is a special Sefer of 13 stories the Bein Hazal told. These 13 stories are in themselves very intriguing, very unusual, but at the same time they are the deepest, the most profound works of all the writings yet. Every word in these stories contains a special secret, special say, the secret of Kabbalah, secret in Teda. These secrets are such that there is no one ever to really solve the secrets of the words completely, but at least partially. Reb Nosson Zal writes about them, and from Reb Nosson Zal's writings we can see how, to a slight degree, how deep these stories are. Now, Reb Nosson Zal tells us that in the Sipurim Maaseiyos, the fifth story, the fifth of the 13 stories, this story, Reb Nosson Zal said about this story, possibly, that there was a certain story the Bein Hazal had which contained the Shem Membeis. The Shem Membeis, one of Hashem's names, which contains 42 letters. This is the famous Tefillah, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah's Tefillah, Ona B'chayach. Ona B'chayach, Kedulas Yimincha, Tati Tzrura, and so on. There are seven lines, six words, and every word, we consider the first letter of that word as a Shem, one of the names of Hashem. So combined we have six-letter Shem for each line, a total of seven lines, seven Shemes of six letters, total 42 letters. This is called the Shem Membeis. Correspondingly, we have the Shem Membeis in reference to the Bria, the creation. This is one of the very mysterious and not too well-known Shemes, names of Hashem. Abinadel said that he has a story which contains in it the hidden secrets about this Shem Membeis. Lassenzal says that it is possible, most probable, that this fifth story of Sipurim Maaseiyos is the one that the Bein Hazal referred to with this Shem. At the same time, at one time, the Bein Hazal said to Reb Nosson Zal that in this Shem Membeis he has solved every one of the 42 letters, but meanwhile, temporarily, he said he had a problem with two of those letters, the letter Vav and Tzadik. Letter Vav and Tzadik. Remember those two letters, Vav and Tzadik, which he has not yet been able to cloak into the story yet. Later, of course, he succeeded. We will discuss this point more at length later. Let's first take the story. That's why I want to preface today's shiur by saying that today's shiur is unusual, is unique. It is a special, a super special kind of a shiur in which we combine the Bein Hazal Sipurim Maaseiyos with the Tikkuni Zohar. You couldn't ask for a more powerful combination. We should be zecher to understand a little. At least we'll attempt to do this. First, the story the Bein Hazal tells, one that, of course, is very deep in itself, very unusual, but as we said, every word serves as a code, contains a deep thought. The Bein Hazal tells a story about a king who had no children. This king went to doctors, and of course he used the biggest doctors in all his lands. He summoned these doctors to him, these professors, the greatest of the medical profession, to solve this problem. He should have children. In order that his kingdom should not be passed on to strangers, he wanted to keep it in the family, have his son to take over the throne. None of these doctors were able to help him. They were all of no avail. Finally, the king realized that there was one solution that would work. So he issued a decree against all the Jews living in his country, his lands, that they should daven for him. He should have children. A decree meant, or else, it was ultimatum. Daven, you must succeed, or else, Chas v'Shalom, the Jews of my kingdom will suffer. So the Jews went out. What did they do? Did they daven? They davened, but they felt that they needed a tefillah of a tzaddik. A tefillah of a tzaddik emes, because a tzaddik emes is the one who is endowed with the power to be peked akoris. Women who are barren, sterile, could not give birth. This is a special power vested in the tzaddikim, that their tefillahs can help women to give birth. They went in quest, searching the tzaddik. He should daven for them. He should succeed in that the king should have children. They searched for the tzaddik. We stressed the word they searched very hard until they found a hidden tzaddik. They said to him, they told him that he should daven so the king should have children. The tzaddik replied that he knows nothing at all. He has no power. He has no knowledge of any kind. And so, since he rejected them, they notified the king. They found the tzaddik, but he turned them down. The king sent a special order to the tzaddik, a troop to pick up the tzaddik, to bring him before the king. The tzaddik was brought before the king. The king began to speak to the tzaddik softly, without anger, and without using his authority. He told them in a very nice manner that the Jews are in the king's hand, in his power, to do with them as he pleases. And therefore, the king said to the tzaddik, I'm asking you very nicely and very politely, for the sake of your people, daven that I should have children. The tzaddik finally relented, and he promised the king that in that year, he will have a child. He will have a child. Did not say what kind. The tzaddik left. He went back to his original place. And that year, the queen gave birth to a daughter. This is not exactly what the king wanted, because in order to take over the king's throne, he needed a son. However, at least, meanwhile, there was a very big celebration, because the fact that the queen was proven not to be barren anymore. This daughter, this princess, possessed an unusual high degree of beauty. As a child, also, she was endowed with qualities that were far above average. When she reached the age of 4, she already knew most of the knowledge, advanced knowledge, that people who had gone to universities. She knew how to play various types of musical instruments, and she spoke many languages, so that there were kings of different lands who came to visit this king, all different countries, just to gaze upon, to study this unusual phenomenon, this prodigy of 4, who was so advanced in every respect. The king was very joyous about all this. And then, finally, the king had a new craving desire. He wanted to have a son. Very pleased with a daughter of this kind, a princess, but she did not suit his purpose. He had to have a son who would take over the kingdom afterwards. So again, instead of wasting time going to doctors, he saw that his wife had not given birth in the past 4 years. Again, he issued a decree of the Jews that they should daven for him, this time specifically that he should have a son. The Jews again went out in quest in search of the tzaddik. They could not find him because the tzaddik had already passed away. He was nostalgic. But they did not give up hope. They searched further. They found another hidden tzaddik. They told this tzaddik that the king wants a son. This tzaddik too replied that he knows nothing, he cannot help them. He notified the king. The king had his tzaddik brought before him. The king said to the tzaddik the same words, I speak to you nicely, the Jews are in my power, therefore it is for your benefit, the benefit of your people, that you help me. So this tzaddik said to the king, fine, you want a son. Could you do what I tell you to do? In other words, there are certain specific requirements that you must fulfill first. Could you fulfill them? The king, without asking what they were, said, yes. Anything you say. I want a son that badly, and I am so powerful that I'll do anything you say. Which was, of course, a very vital sign. When a tzaddik says something, you don't ask questions. You say yes. The person who does that is assured of having his request complied with. So the tzaddik said to the king, I want you to bring me every type of precious stone that exists. Because each precious stone, diamond and precious stones, contains in itself a very special quality. There is something about these stones created by Hashem. Each thing has in it a certain power. One can give forth unusual energy. We have the uranium, plutonium. One can give forth different types of forms of energy or light or special minerals that come from these stones. But every stone has in it a certain type of power, and the kings have listed in their index a list of every type of diamond or precious stone there is. The king said to the tzaddik, I will expend half of my kingdom in order that I have a son. I will bring you every kind of precious stone there is. We'll search to the furthest corners to get them. He went, he brought one of every kind of precious stones there were. The tzaddik took these stones and he ground them to a very fine dust. Grains, very fine grains of dust. He took a cup of wine, he put this dust into the wine, and then he gave half a cup to the king to drink, half a cup to the queen, and he said to the king, no, I'm notifying you that you're going to have a son. He told us to the king and queen, both, you're going to have a son. But this son is going to be very special. He's going to be composed of the ingredients of this son, and he's made of all these precious diamonds, precious stones. He will also have the qualities and powers that these precious stones possess. Very strange statement. Son made of diamonds. And the tzaddik left. The queen gave birth to a son. The palace was filled with joy. The king was overjoyed. He now had a son. The son, though, lacked one thing. He was not made of precious stones. He looked normal, regular flesh and blood. Still, of course, the king forgot about this point. It was forgotten, and in fact, it was so unusual a statement that he didn't think about it at all. This son also was a prodigy. At the age of 4, he was extremely handsome, good-looking, and extremely wise. Every type of wisdom, he was versed in everything. He knew all the languages. Here too, the kings of different lands came to see this unusual prodigy, this prince. And of course, what happened was that this pushed the princess out of the limelight. She no longer was the favorite. And when she saw that she wasn't as important as before, she was filled with jealousy. But her jealousy did not manifest itself into any violent action, because she consoled herself, at least the fact that the words of the tzaddik did not come true. At least this son, this prince, her brother, was not made of precious stones. And that consoled her. One day, this prince's child was chopping wood, and he hurt his finger. He cut his finger. Apparently the princess saw this, and she ran to bind the wound. It was an open wound. Looking in, she saw inside this wound the brilliance of a diamond, deep under the flesh. Now she was really filled with jealousy. She couldn't take this anymore, and she feigned, she pretended illness. Doctors all over came to visit her, to try to cure her. They could find no cure for her. So finally, in the palace, they called magicians to come. Perhaps they would find some kind of a charm or a curse that caused her illness. There was one magician who came to her. This magician she confided in, told him the truth, that she was only pretending illness. And she asked him, she didn't reveal the details, she just said, "Tell me, do you have a kind of magic potion that can make a person leprous, turn a person into a leper?" And the magician said, yes, he did have a potion of that kind. And she said to him, well, could that magic be refuted by a different magic, one that can remove this spell? Maybe they might find a magician who's as good as you that would nullify your magic. This person would become cured for the leprosy. The magician said, there is a way to guarantee no cure for this magic. If you take the magic potion, the origin, and throw this into the river, then it can never become void anymore. Person, the leper, will remain so forever. Of course, leprosy is fatal. So she asked this magician for the magic. It was done. And then she threw this magic potion into the river, and the prince, the young prince, became very leprous. His nose, his face, his entire body was filled with this skin leprosy. Leprosy, of course, the Gemara tells us, is a case where the skin begins to scale. It turns white as snow, or a degree of whiteness between the degree of the white of an egg and the whiteness of snow. Different levels of whiteness. The skin dries up, scales, and begins to fall off, and of course, the person eventually disintegrates and dies. It's the case of leprosy. And the king saw that his son, the prince, the apple of his eye, had contracted this fatal disease. He was beside himself with grief. He called the doctors. They couldn't help. He called magicians. They too couldn't help. So he decreed the Jews should daven for the sake of his son. The Jews went out in search of this tzaddik. They brought the tzaddik before the king. The tzaddik himself, he came to the king, was privately, personally, he was very disturbed. He felt very badly, because he had always continually been davening to Hashem. How is it that he had promised the king, this prince, when he made of precious stones and diamonds, that it was not so? He cried out to Hashem and asked, why should that be so? When I did this, this promise was not for my sake, it was for your sake, to show the greatness of Hashem, to enhance the honor of Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. And now my words should not be fulfilled? This is unusual. So he kept crying to Hashem about this. Now the tzaddik came to the king. The king told him his problem, that his son was leprous. He told the tzaddik to daven. The tzaddik davened. He davened with all his heart, to no avail. It did not help. The child was not cured. Finally, he was notified. The answer to his tefillah was a notification that this was magic, special magic potion. And a magic potion is something, the Gemara says, there are days in the Gemara that in those days when magic existed, of course nowadays there is no such thing as magic, there are only illusions. No real magic exists. In those days, magic was done through heavenly powers too, in contact with angels who had miracle powers. These angels of evil would wield these powers for the sake of those who are tamei, impure, like Bilam, Balak. Throughout history, we had those Paro, Egyptian magicians, could really perform these miracles. And this was a special permission given by heaven, a special power given to this evil power to be able to wield perform these miracles, sort of without any objection or resistance from heaven itself. And that's why, for a while, these tools of the tzaddik did not help. But the tzaddik was higher, above all types of magic. And so now, the tzaddik came to the king and told the king that this was magic, that it caused the leprosy, and that the magic potion had been thrown into the river. How do you go about undoing this? You cannot nullify magic where the potion was thrown into the river. The only solution is to take the magician who made this magic potion and throw him into the river too. That way, the magic will become void. The king readily said, I will give you, I'll hand over to you all the magicians. You may throw them all into the river. I'm willing to destroy all my magicians in order to have my son cured. When the princess who was nearby heard this, she became frantic, desperate. So she ran to the river to draw out this magic potion because she felt that she was in danger. She knew where she had thrown this magic. As she stooped to draw this out, extract it from the water, she slipped and fell into the water. There was a loud tumult that the princess had fallen into the water, and the tzaddik came and said he had detected, felt that this was the solution. He said, told them, now the prince will be cured. The prince was cured. The curing of leprosy was that the top layer of skin that was leprous dried up and it peeled off, came off, and as the entire layer of skin peeled off, the prince stood now revealed in all his glory, made of shining, brilliant, precious stones. And he had all the powers that existed in these precious stones, so that the words of the tzaddik, the blessing, finally came true. This is the story as told by Rabbeinu Zal. Of course, as we said, it's a story of great mystery, great depth. Every word of this story is holy, is one that could not be fathomed by any human being. Human mentality cannot understand this to its depth because it is the endless wisdom of Rabbeinu Zal himself in these words. Especially since Rabbeinu Zal said that he had woven into this story the Shem Mem Beis, 42 letters of Hashem's name. However, the Rabbeinu Zal said that every person is permitted to study, to delve into it, to attempt to understand, to interpret to the best of his ability the story. So somehow there are interpretations of most of the stories of these 13 stories, but this story is completely lacking. Somehow it has been overlooked for some reason. No interpretations at all of this story, perhaps because as the Gemara says, they leave room for later generations to study it, to try to come up with something fairly clear. Now, we can only try to touch the surface according to some of the teachings of the Zohar Kodesh, which would hint to what this story is about. What is obvious, clear, what we can understand clearly from the story is that the whole story revolves around Moshe Rabbeinu. This prince is Moshe Rabbeinu. And as we find, many times Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the Kutanah of the Avon and Teves, precious stones. These precious stones, these diamonds that is, refer to the neshamas, the souls of the Jews, the basic 600,000 neshamas of the Jews that are called precious stones. is a pasuk tishtapechna avnei kodesh b'reish kol chutzais, precious stones that are lying in the streets that are being ignored, that are being trampled upon. This means the souls of the Jews who are the downtrodden. And we see that this word, this term is used referring to the neshamas of the Jews. Now here we say that this prince was filled, was made up, comprised of these precious stones. The Gemara says there was a story of a woman who once gave birth to 600,000 children at one time. The Gemara says, how is that possible? The answer is that this is speaking about Yecheved. Yecheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was equal to all 600,000 Jews combined. This mother, Yecheved, is Begimatria Membez. Her name is Begimatria, numerically Membez. That means that the origin of this story, the origin of this prince, was the Shem Membez. His name Membez, 42. And the prince who was made up of all 600,000 Neshamas, the Jews, he who possessed the qualities of all of them, because every single Jew received his knowledge from before birth. The neshamas in heaven received the knowledge of Torah, which each one is entitled to his chelik, through the Rabbon Shel Kol Yisrael. The Rebbe of all Jews, the Rebbe of all angels, the Rebbe of all neshamas is Moshe Rabbeinu. So he possessed the qualities of all 600,000 precious stones, 600,000 neshamas, and allotted to each one his share, but given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Tikkun Ezer tells us that in order to reveal his greatness, there first has to be a Yerida, a descent, and then an Aliyah, an ascent. Person must first go down in order to rise up. The Zayin HaKadosh Tikkun says that we find that Basya Bas Paray. Basya, the princess Basya, came to the river to cleanse herself, to convert from the princess, the Egyptian princess, convert, to drop her idol worship, and to purify herself, become a pure neshama too. Now, she came there, and she took this little casket which contained Moshe Rabbeinu. When she touched him, he became a leper. He contracted leprosy. This leprosy remained till he came to Mount Sinai. When he saw the burning thorn bush, then Hashem said, one of the miracles, place your hand in your inside pocket, remove it, and find that it becomes leprous. Leprosy is then cured. Until he came to Har Sinai, when he adopted it, the mantle of leadership of the Jews, the leader of the 600,000 Jews, then the brilliance of the 600,000 was shown, leprosy was removed. So of course we see from this story in general, very briefly, that the story revolves around the leader of the Jews, the leader of the 600,000, the Shomis, and how a person should know, every person should know, that on a much smaller scale himself, in order to get to the purity that a person should strive for, there must first be this outside shell, this roughness, this impurity, that's known as the klipa kodma lepri. The shell, the rind, precedes the fruit, the inside. If you want to eat the fruit, you must first remove that rind. Each person is built with, is created with, this outer shell of tuma. This must be removed in order to achieve the purity that a person has inside, this precious stone, which is his neshama, which is internal, that first must be removed. removal, of course, to get to the Pri. Pri, of course, is Begimatria's Klipa with the Malchus, Shem Adnei. To get this removed, the person must go through the bitterness of the descent, be willing to take upon himself this battle with the Yetzirah, with the evil forces, and to resort to his origin, which means to combine himself, to attach himself to the origin of his neshama, which is Meshed Abeinu, which is the Tzadik Emes. Then he can be assured that in the koyach, the power of the Tzadik Emes, he too will have this klipa removed, and the purity, the inside kedusha, will come forth. Now, to attempt to touch very lightly on what Nassenzal brings in the Sichos about the Shem Membeis. This Shem Membeis, as we said, is the Tefillah Ona B'Chayach. Ona B'Chayach has seven lines, six words each. For example, Ona B'Chayach, Gedulas Yimincha, Tatir Tzruna. First letters of those six words are Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. Those six letters comprise one of the names of Hashem, which of course means six letters out of the Shem and Beis. You have seven lines that way. These seven lines coincide, each line coincides with a different day of the week, because the Shem and Beis means Maisa Bereshis, the creation. Creation came through this name, the Shem and Beis. This, the creation with this name, each line, or each one of these seven names, was used for the creation of a different day. Ki Sheshis Yomim Osa Hashem. Zayin Kodesh says that Hashem did not create in 6 days. Hashem created these 6 days themselves. These 6 days were created with these six names, and the seventh name was when Hashem created the Shabbos Kodesh. So these seven names correspond, therefore, to the seven Sfidos. The first Sfida of Chesed is the first day, the second Gevura, the second day, and then Tiferes, the third, Netzach, the fourth, Hayd, the fifth, Yisoid, the sixth, Malchus, is the Shabbos queen, king, is the seventh. We say this in counting Sfida Sa'imer. Each day we add the special Sfida for that day. Which means then, if we go one step further, that note there are six letters for each name. So the first name, Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik, the first letter would be the first Sfida for that day. That day is Chesed. The first Sfida would be Chesed Sheba Chesed. The Beis would be Gvura Sheba Chesed, and so on. The second day, second line, Kabel Rinas Amcho Sagvinu Taharenu Noida. Kabel Rinas Amcho, that's Kuf Lej Ayin. The first letter would be Kuf would be Chesed Shebi Gvura. The second day is Gvura. Second would be Gvura Shebi Gvura. The third to finish Gvura, and so on. This is a simple formation of these Sfidos. Therefore, note that when we say we count the Omer, we correspond this Tefillah to the Omer. We say this Tefillah because this corresponds to the counting of the Omer, the 42 letters, plus, of course, the 7 weeks. You also have the name itself. At the end of a week, you have the entire name. That's the Malchus, which contains all the other six. The Malchus of the Kelim contains the other six. Those who have had a smattering knowledge of, slight touch of past Shiurim, will understand this simply. This is very elementary. We're not going into any depth now. Now, Tikkun Hazayah says, let us study at least, let us try to understand a little about these names. And when we do, we'll find amazingly how, and I say amazingly, how this will fit with the Abedazal statement that this shame belongs to this story. First line, the first name, Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. letters, six letters, comprise, make up six words. Tav Tzadik is Teda Tzifuna, the Teda Av, who's Teda Teda Smesha, is Tzifuna is hidden. The other four letters, Beis Gimel Yud Aleph, by Gai, in the valley. Moshe Rabbeinu was hidden, buried in the valley. But what is meant by in the valley? The Gai means it is hidden in Moshe Rabbeinu, who himself is this Beis Gimel Yud Aleph, which is the letters Av Yud Gimel. He is the master of the 13 Midos. Master of the 13 Midos of Hashem, 13 qualities of Hashem. Teda is hidden within this master of the 13 qualities of Hashem, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Vav of Hashem's name, and in the Shem Mor, that Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav, Begimatria 13, therefore he is Av Yud Gimel, the master of the 13 qualities. So we see where Moshe Rabbeinu is as master of the 13 qualities of the Teda. The Teda itself consists of 600,000 letters corresponding to 600,000 neshamos. Every word in the Teda is a precious stone. So we can understand beginning, we see the beginning in light, how this corresponds to the story. Second Shem is Kufresh Ayin Shin Tes Nun at Pasuk Kabbalinas. Here the Zayin HaKadosh says, the Kuna Zayin says that the words are Korah means he split or he divided the yam. He divided, he split or he tore away the yam. What did he tear? Divide the waters? That wasn't sufficient, because when he divided the waters, the Satan came and said, why should the Egyptians die? He had a claim against the Jews as being just as guilty. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah who tore away the Satan from the yam. That's the letters of this Shem Kra, Shin Tes Nun, Sin Tes Nun, and that was then. But to revert back to the Teda itself, the Zayin HaKadosh says, dividing the waters of the Yam was then. Yosef Lava, he will divide the waters of the Yam HaChochma, divide it, let the Jews enter to learn the depth of the Yam HaChochma, the wisdom that is found in the Teda, the waters of Teda that are endless. Of course, this too was referred to tearing away, removing the Sotah, which means removing the Kishuf, the magic of the Sotah, from this waters. In the waters, the magic has tremendous powers. This is removed by the Tzadik, Tzadik Gimus. Third line, Tiferes, is Neged Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Chaf Shin, you know, Yorah B'chayach. This is refers to Neged Kolamcha Esed Eflois. Hashem said, I will make do miracles for you in front of the Jews. Yud Chaf Shin, Yud Shin is Yesh, reward Yesh, V'hanchil Oheva Yesh, from the Kof Keser. The Keser is the one that gives forth the reward for Tzadikim, and this will be for all Jews. Again, of course, the Yud Shin, as Zayin HaKadosh says, Yud is the Chachma, the Shin is Moshe Rabbeinu, Tiferes, containing all three Sfidais, Shemayim, and this is in the hands of Ayhavai, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, who will lead the Jews to ultimate victory, and even in Olam Haba, they will be there through his Zechus. The fourth, Borchaim Taharim, Beis Tes Neish Tzadik Tov Gimel. This refers to the Gun, Tov, and the Tov is Teferes, the Tzadik, that's the Gun, the Gimel is the Gun. Again, speaking about the Gun, the Garden of Eden, which we find on earth, for the sake of those who study Teda, and Beis Tes Neish is Rotu, which means one that is soaked, and it is fertile, it gives forth a garden where the shamas grow. You stay, he sowed the field, the balasada takes care of this field where the shamas grow. Tenu Nunhei, the Abedazal brings about Meshra Abedo and Aran, who are the masters of this gun. So Tere Samachai. The fifth, and this of course is the fourth, which is Netzach. The fifth is Hoyd, Ches, Kuf, Beis, Tes, Nun, Ayin. Chayk, Nota, the Adam. Chayk, Ches, Kuf, is Nota, he planted a Chayk for Adam. For this Adam, Shemo. And Nota, Tes, Nun, Ayin is Nota, planted. Of course, you also have in those letters, combining the last two letters of each of these three, you have the Shem Ayin Beis, showing that the Ayin Beis is the source for Netzach Hayd Yisoy, just as it is for Chesed Gevurah Teferes. The sixth Yisoyd is Yochid Geh Liyamcha Panei, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. The Vedic Kodesh says this means simply Yud Gimel Lamed, Yigala Hashem will reveal, Pei Zayin Kuf, Pidyon Zerek Edoshim. The 6,000th year, in the 6,000 is the time of Mashiach's coming, and Hashem will reveal the redemption of His holy children. The last, the Malchus, Shin Kuf Vav Tzadik Yud Tov. So then he kind of says, this means Shis, and the Kates. Shis, after the Yisait, you have the Kates, the end, the Malchus, which is the end meaning it will all end happily, when this Kates comes, through the Malchus. Note then, that in this last one, Abinadel said there are two letters, he asked about difficulty, Vav and Tzadik. The Vav, in this last letter, is the Teferis of Malchus, the Tzadik is the Netzach of Malchus. Netzach, Abinadel said he himself was the Chinas Mashiach and David. So we have, next to each other, Teferis and Netzach, Netzach with the classifiers of letter Tzadik. Vav and Tzadik, these two are, Tzadik is Yisoid. Netzach is the Yisoid, Tzadik Yisoid. And these are the two letters of Yisoid said that he entered in as the key to the entire story, entire Shem and Beis. These are the Malchus, and of course, the key meaning, that the Yisoid of everything, the foundation for all, every word that is said, every word that is learned, is the Malchus, which is the Emunah, foundation for a Jew to be able to acquire all this wisdom, be able to develop himself, be able to become close to the Tzadikim, to come close to the Torah of the Tzadikim, and close to the Gan, the special garden where the Neshama is watered, this Gan Rotuv. The Neshama is watered, it's fertile ground, it is nurtured and nursed by the Tzadik Emes, is dependent upon the degree of Emunah that the Jew has in the Tzadik Emes, in the words of the Torah. This is the meaning of the story where the prince finally came forth in all his glory, because due to the fact that the struggle, the effort on the part of the Jews, and their faith in the Tzadik Emes, their faith was unwavering, knowing the Tzadik Emes could fulfill this and could complete this to perfection. This is what we are taught, as we say, I stress again, what we said here is a tipo min hayam. It is less, much less than one drop in the ocean, far less, is a infinitesimal compared to a drop in the ocean, because the Benazar's perception of depth is such that it's unfathomable. At least we try to understand slightly superficially, and with Emunah, we will be zeche eventually to delve further. We have a beginning, and at least the most important lesson of all, that we should strengthen our Emunah Shlema, to believe implicitly in the Kayach, the Kedusha of the Tzadik Emes, the Kedusha of the Torah Kedusha, and with that Emunah will be assured that we will have a constant future, as kashrus, a true one, to the Netzach, to the Tzadik Emes, will lead us to the point of the Gula, which we are going to see all this fulfilled with the coming of the Mashiach and with the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gula, Yeshua, Shlomo, the entire Klal Yisrael, and Heda, Amen, V'Amen. Amen.